So J.K. Rowling is cancelled now, apparently. I guess I'm gonna have to be your favourite writer that also possesses a British passport. Oh no! Come on in. Let's sit down, have a little chat, read a little poetry, talk about some things. And I promise I will not do something outrageous on the Twitter. I mean, I might. But don't worry, you'll never have to cancel me, I promise. Layering lip gloss, daring him to do his worst. Playful, I pretend that I am blind to the desires that bind him to me, as if I cannot hear what his hands scream. I ask him, with one glance of my eyes to the lust in his lap, what his plans are for tonight. And then, I am snatched into a sensual storm. I remember a very, very long time ago. It's a very long time ago. I was workshopping some writing at this place, and this guy told me that my use of alliteration was very seductive. And I was like, what does that mean? Because I was very like, I want to be taken seriously. And I was like, what does that mean? But sometimes when I write things like that, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Come on, girl, let's be real. We're kind of doing that show on purpose. But I love alliteration. It's one of my favorite ways to collect language, as it were. I love doing it. It's fun. It's a fun way to write. And I kind of wrote that sort of about, I guess, my tried and tested seduction technique. It's like flirting, but for shy girls who like plausible deniability. Because here's what you do, okay? You act all like playful and, you know, is this a double meaning? Can you really be sure of what I'm saying? And I'll tell you why, okay? Because firstly, you have plausible deniability. If it goes wrong and the person's not interested, you can be like, oh, no, I didn't mean anything like that. No, I just meant something completely not that. Yeah, sure. And I mean, they might not believe you, but they can't prove it. So, I mean, you know, it gets you out of it, which is great. So if it goes wrong, you have like a get out clause. But also, you have like this kind of innocent angel energy, which I'm not gonna lie, really helps my Catholic guilt, because I can be like, I'm not gonna say anything like overtly, you know, overt. You're gonna have to do that, and I'll just sit here and be this innocent little angel, because that's what I am. I'm a sweet innocent little Catholic angel, and you're gonna have to. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it distracting when I keep putting on lip gloss like that and putting things kind of near my mouth in a very phallic or sapphic way, depending on your persuasion? Oh my gosh, I just spilled a drink and it just went right down the front of my dress, which is alarmingly low cut. And I'm just acting like I didn't even realize that that would be interesting to you. Wow. Oh, you know, let me just sit here real close to you and, you know, talk in a very sort of slow, soft way and use lots of alliteration. I actually use alliteration a lot, not just in writing, but when I actually talk. And I feel like it's probably really annoying, but I don't care because I'm really dramatic. And, oh, you know, oh, I'm not like fluttering my eyelashes in an excessive way. They just happen to be very big. And honestly, you get plausible deniability. You get this kind of cute, innocent energy. And you never have to feel bad about it, because it's not your fault. You're just a cute, innocent angel. And, you know, you're just over here being cute and angelic. And What people choose to do with that, that's not your problem. And yeah, so that's kind of how I've been, you know, snatching people up for the longest time. And it works. It really does. Because, I mean, you know, I think people kind of like that. So I felt like writing about it, so I did. It's a good way to explain away why I use so much lip gloss. I mean, the truth of it is I had a had a very traumatic experience as a child that involved having very dry lips for an entire exam, and so now I'm like obsessed with keeping them very soft and things. But I can also explain it away, and I can be like, no, I don't have unresolved trauma. No, I just trying to seduce people in a really unobvious way. No me queda más. Building my whole life in 240 characters or less, I am left tempted to type things like, I love you too, to a mystery I wanted to be mine. Red, raging hearts never learn. Staying up all night, watching myself waste away. Watch me too. Oh gosh, she was feeling so dramatic when she wrote that. Wow. I really was, because it was when I was in the initial kind of umming and ahhing about, do I want to be in love right now? Is this what I want for myself? Because there was this part of me that was like, oh, I definitely do. Uh-huh. For sure. For realsies. But then there was this other part that was like, girl, I thought we decided we weren't doing this anymore. I thought we decided we was gonna go do something else with our time. What are you doing? Why are you spending all this time talking to this guy? Why are you being delusional and thinking it's gonna become something else? Why are you spending all this time thinking, you know, oh, wouldn't it be nice if like he felt the same way, and then we got together and we were in love and stuff. Like, what if that happened? That would be so nice. You know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this right now? What is going on with you? You don't have time for this, bitch. We've got an album to finish, okay? We've got a book to finish. And then we have to promote those things because somehow we've got to pay our fucking rent. And that doesn't happen unless we do our job. We do not have time for this whole, oh, I'm falling in love with some guy thing. What the fuck, bitch? And so in my head, I was like, okay, you know how I overcome this? I make it negative. I get pessimistic about this. I start thinking, you know what? Even though he seems like super nice and amazing, we're gonna imagine what's gonna happen when he hurts you, and he will, because pain is inevitable, and we're gonna get real dramatic, and we're gonna tell ourselves you are a dumb bitch to be doing this until we reach a point where we don't want to do it anymore, and then we're gonna go back to our work, and that's what we'll do, okay? It didn't work out that way, obviously, because I think I was sort of trying to hold myself back because I was like really scared about everything, and because that is my natural state. But it was fine, you know, and I was just being dramatic, and I didn't need to create this negative image in my head to kind of dissuade myself and keep myself in this safe space of being away from that situation. And, you know, but I didn't realize that at the time when I was writing that while walking angrily back from the bus stop. I don't even remember really what I was angry about. I just know that I was. And I was like, yeah, because like I had kind of spent like the few kind of days before that in this kind of romantic daze. And I was like, oh, it's going to be so nice. And maybe, you know, maybe he'll say to me, I want to be with you. And then I'll say it back. And then we'll have a lovely relationship and everything will be great. And then this other bit is just like, bitch, what? No. We don't hope those things because they're not going to happen. Don't do this. Do not do this. Not again. Not again, for fuck's sake. And it's like I have to be harsh with myself and negative with myself to protect myself. But as I found out and as transpired, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can allow yourself to dream a little and say, well, maybe it will be fine. And it was. I think I just had to kind of get that skepticism out somehow. And, you know, just kind of accept that maybe I found something that isn't dangerous to me. Which is weird, but good. What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Well, everyone really needs to stand up and say that, okay, no, this is not politics in the normal British way. This is something darker and bleaker, and it's got to stop.
Peace is possible and must be achieved.
We want Scotland to remain inside the EU, and we want the UK to remain inside the EU.
Labour is weak and divided and completely unable to offer any sort of opposition to the Tories.
And I say to all the doubters, dude, we are going to energise the country. We're going to get Brexit done.
But the party that I need is an independent political party.
So, what the fuck indeed? I'm recording this on a Friday, and it's just before recess starts again. Because obviously, we've just had the election, everyone's come back, and now they're fucking off again for Christmas. So, there's going to be the second reading of the withdrawal bill for the Brexit thing today. I might pop back in later and let you know how that went. There's no amendments for it, so it is just going to be one straight vote. So we'll see how that goes, although I'm pretty sure we all know. How's the first week back been? Well, on the plus side, I'm going to start with something good. the MPs were swearing in this week, and I got to see lots of different languages, because when the MPs swear in, they have to swear allegiance to the Queen and all of her heirs, which some MPs don't like doing for obvious reasons, but it is a requirement to serve as a Member of Parliament at Westminster. So they've been doing that all week. You need to swear in English, but there is also the option for MPs to swear in other languages. And I love seeing MPs swearing in different languages. It's so cool. And I love seeing all the different languages that are present and a part of the UK. There was some really great clips on social media. There was MPs swearing in Welsh, Gaelic, you know, all kinds of different languages, Cornish as well. So I'd really recommend, if you if you're a politics or a language nerd like me, checking that out on Twitter. There's a lot of really great clips of that. So that was fun. And then everything else happened and it was a bit shit. So, first and foremost, Labour. What's going on there? Well, a lot of people are getting ready for the leadership election. A lot of people are throwing hats into rings. There's sort of the contenders that are getting a lot of attention at the moment for the leader would be Rebecca Long Bailey. Jess Phillips, Keir Starmer, Emily Thornberry. Is there anyone else I've missed? I think that is sort of, they're the main. Oh, Lisa Nandy. Oh, just like all the towns. She too has been forgotten. I'm sorry, Lisa Nandy. Lisa Nandy has kind of gone viral on social media because she talks about towns a lot. She is the MP for Wigan. And she talks about towns a lot because she believes that the best thing for the UK at the moment is to reconnect with voters, obviously, and to look at how towns and smaller places can be empowered, because she believes they have been left behind in favour of cities. I think that there is some logic to that, and I think that she is right. I am also enjoying laughing at the memes. There's a lot of memes. so that's been fun too. Out of those options, I don't know. I really want Thangam Debonair to run for leadership. I really like her. I think she's a great speaker. I think she's been a great representative of her constituents. She seems like a really great person. I would love her to run, but she has not made any moves towards that yet. Clive Lewis has announced he's running as well, but I mean, I don't see it for him. I'm not going to lie to you. I think there is a big push for a female leader. Yvette Cooper also said she's going to think about it over Christmas and see if she wants to run, which means she probably will. She's just waiting till after Christmas to get everything together, which makes sense because then she's got time to get a really like kind of flashy campaign going. A lot of people were hoping Angela Rayner would run, but it doesn't look like she will. I think she's going for deputy, which I think is a shame because I think she'd be good. I do. I think she has a lot of experience with the public. I think that she could maybe do things a little differently. That'd be fun, but, you know, so of the people who've kind of really solidified, yes, I'm running, I'm gonna do this, let's have a little rundown. Like I said, Clive Lewis, I don't see it for him. I don't think he has the facilities for that. I'm not gonna lie, I don't see it. And you know, we are supposed to be like seriously looking at the idea of a woman for leader this time, guys, so anyways, Keir Starmer, again, we are supposed to be seriously looking at a woman for leader. If it had to be a man, I wouldn't mind Keir Starmer, though. I think he's a strong speaker. He connects well with people. I wouldn't be mad at it, you know. I could live with it. I don't even know why I care. I'm a member of a completely different party, but Labour is sort of my natural voting choice while I still live in England, so I guess I'm kind of invested. Rebecca Long Bailey. Having seen her in one of the debates during the election, it's going to be a no from me. I don't think that she is a strong enough speaker. I don't think she has the experience. I don't see it for her. I don't. And as somebody pointed out helpfully on Twitter, her name sort of leads to an easy, you know, tabloid nickname, Rebecca Wrong Daily. It just doesn't, I don't see it. I don't see it for her. Emily Thornberry, I think, has a lot of experience, but she also has a lot of things that could be dragged up. You know, things like, there was some tweet she made about white vans and English flags that will come back to haunt her, I'm sure. A lot of people kind of look at her as this kind of posh Islington thing, which is the same problem Jeremy Corbyn had. But the difference is actually, there's a very interesting interview that she did with Nick Robinson where she talks about her background and she talks about her life. And actually, it's not the case that she's some posh girl from Islington who's always had everything handed to her. That's not the case at all. But I think, unfortunately for her, that image has kind of been baked in, whether it's true or not. And I think that would be a sort of target for a lot of people. So I think that's a mistake. I wouldn't mind Emily Thornberry as leader, but I don't think realistically it's going to happen. I don't. Jess Phillips. I think she connects well with people. She's a good speaker, but I don't think it's going to happen because I think a lot of the Labour Party don't like her. So I don't see it as realistically happening. I don't think she will get the support of the members. I think she would probably get the support of MPs and some of the more moderate members, but I don't see her getting a lot of support outside of that. And so I don't think it's realistically going to happen. Yvette Cooper, if she decides to run, which I'm pretty sure she will, maybe, but I mean, she didn't before, but I don't know, maybe if people kind of swing and they're like, well, maybe, you know, we've tried it this way, let's try it some other way, then maybe she could do well there, but I don't see it for her. I'd like to, but I don't, you know? Yeah, anyway, so let's just all stand thank and debonair. And I know it's not going to happen, but I want it. I have a feeling it's going to be Lisa Nandy. I'm seeing a lot of people jumping on the Lisa Nandy bus, and not just because of the town memes. I feel like a lot of people look at her and think, yeah, she's from the north, she's a woman, she likes towns, she likes memes, fuck it. And I mean, fine, okay, if that's what they want to do, all right. But I mean, like I said, I'm not even a member of the Labour Party, so I don't even get a vote, so... My granddad does. He's a member of the Labour Party. But, yeah, so it's... from the way I see it, I think it's going to be Lisa Nandy. Unless someone really, like someone else, like, just sort of jumps in. Like, maybe Thangam Debonair. It's not going to be Thangam Debonair, is it? Oh. Anyway, so Labour are doing that. And I we'll see more as time goes on, because I think the leadership contest starts in January, so I guess we will figure it out. So what else has been happening? Well, Boris's new pals have turned up, And yeah, they've been great. And by that, I mean not at all. There's been, you know, they're very loud and very rambunctious. I'm pretty sure I said that wrong both times, but I feel like that's part of my charm. Boris is being Boris, you know. He had to be told off for fucking checking his phone when people were talking to him yesterday. So, I mean, this is all going really fucking well. He keeps yelling about reuniting the country with Brexit. I don't really see how he does that. He said, this is the time when we move on and discard the old labels of leave and remain. But if you're only doing one of those things and that's leaving, then, I mean, I don't know. Again, he just seems to be just yelling about unity, but doing nothing to bring it about. And I don't know what he expects. I think he is just kind of, he's just yelling as loud as he can in the hopes that, you know, that he can just be louder than the public, you know? He's the big guy and he's yelling and everyone's just supposed to do what he says and get into line and unite together. And I mean, if that's what you want to do, fine. But I don't think it's going to work. I don't think he can just say we're all getting together and that'll be it. Because I don't, that's just not realistic. Maybe in his world where he's just kind of always got what he wants eventually, he figures that's how it's going to go. But I really don't think it is. I honestly, and people can call me like a bit of Ramona or whatever, but I think once the reality of Brexit sets in and people realise that even though Boris has said, oh, we're getting it done, it's going to be great, when people realise that actually it isn't, well, then unity will be even further away than it was before. Speaking of unity, the push for independence in Scotland continues. This week in the Scottish Parliament, a referendum bill passed in the hopes of returning the power to have a referendum to the Scottish Parliament. Whether Westminster does that or not, we don't know yet. But that's basically the Scottish Parliament saying, we want to be able to choose when we have a referendum on self-determination. That is what we want. It's up to you to deliver that. That's been going on. A lot of the Conservatives are now kind of pushing this narrative of, you know, Nicola Sturgeon didn't say anything about having a referendum if she won, so it doesn't matter that she got a mandate. And it's been really funny to watch people just bringing out the receipts and being like, actually, she did. And you said that would happen if she won. And she did. So, yeah, bitch. And it's been very cute. but, you know, so it continues on and we will see what happens and what develops. Labour in Scotland are kind of still umming and ahhing. I think the official party line is, we're going to listen to people about why they didn't vote Labour, but we're also not going to talk in a serious way about self-determination, even though a bunch of people voted for parties that want self-determination. We're not going to talk about that. But there have been dissenting voices in Scottish Labour, not quite yet voting for things that would bring about an independence referendum, but there were two members of the Scottish Parliament from Scottish Labour who abstained. They didn't vote for the referendums bill, but they did abstain. They didn't vote against it. So I think Scottish Labour, they have a lot of work to do to establish what their position is and to establish what their message is, because it's very mixed at the moment. And there are voices kind of popping up and saying, well, maybe I think this and I think that. So it's exciting and I love the drama. and the Scottish Parliament's a lot more relaxing and it's not as crazy. So that's good. There have been attempts. Attempts have been made to reopen Stormont in Northern Ireland. There has been some rumblings of talks and, you know, maybe we can figure it out this time. So I think that would be a good thing. I think it is, you know, the more democracy and the more political goings on that happen, the better. And I think it is frankly unacceptable that Northern Ireland has been without a government for this long. I think the Westminster government has not helped in this regard. I thought it was very cute during the Queen's speech this week. Miss Thing was sat on her little throne like, my government will, you know, work to re-establish government in Northern Ireland. And I'm like, well, it's been almost 3 years, honey, and they haven't really helped. If anything, they've made it worse. But okay. Okay. Let's see how this plays out. I think on the whole, the way that people in Northern Ireland have been treated over the last few years, and well, for a long time before that, obviously, but intensely in the last few years has been unacceptable. And I think that they deserve a lot better than what they have got. And hopefully that is something that will be rectified by the current government. I do not really see it happening, but I am hopeful nonetheless. So I will check back in a little while to let you know what happened with the Brexit situation. I am pretty sure I know how it's going to go, but I will let you know nonetheless. In the time that it took me to record that little segment, I'm not back with the Brexit update, by the way, I'm back with something else. Clive Lewis has essentially cancelled himself, so I don't really see leadership for him. I said, didn't I? I said, I don't see it for him. And he's pretty much made sure of that. He did a little sort of, you know, promo kind of PR thing, interview article situation. And he said this: I've spent 40 plus years as Clive Lewis, and one of the things you have to come to terms with is you are no longer just Clive Lewis. You are Clive Lewis MP. It does come with responsibilities. And so someone asking to be in a picture with you and you putting your arm around them and hugging them in, I have to remember that I'm doing it as Clive Lewis, MP, in the public eye. Jesus Christ. So there is a power dynamic, which means you can't just do that. So I've had to change how I engage with people, women especially. It's a really sad thing to say, but it is a sign of our times. I also have to think about that when I'm alone with female activists. What's wrong with this man? You never want to be in a situation where someone can make a claim when it's their word against yours. Those are the things you have to think about now. You shouldn't have to, and I never did before, but I think since the hashtag MeToo movement, there's a more heightened sense about those power relationships. So basically, this grown man is whinging because women talk about sexual harassment now, and he has to watch himself and make sure he doesn't do anything creepy. It's also now been kind of brought to light as a result of him talking about this and being this level of nonsense, that he has previously been accused of sexual harassment quite a few times. So maybe that's why he's come out with this whole bitter, oh, you can't even look at a woman anymore without Twitter cancelling you nonsense. Like, you just said in this whole thing that you're like 40 plus years old. So like, take some responsibility, my dude. Sitting here whinging about that, honestly. Anyway, so I'm pretty sure that that'll be the end of it, really. Clive Lewis is done. Not that I thought he was going to do great anyway, but I mean, you know, that's that over with. On to the next one. I almost forgot to record this, actually. The Brexit bill, you know, it went through. It's going, it's happening. You know, Boris and his big majority got it done, whatever. that's happening. Hooray. I loved you in every land, losing myself the more that I meant to you. Time is torturing, but sometimes on my side when you and I are drawn together for the briefest, most beautiful moments. I spend some days so set on signing myself over to you because I romanticize the darker sides of our doomed love. Cold nights alone in my room, love, wishing I knew where you were, love, cursing the cause of my crying, love. I spend some days mistaking pain for pleasure. Your passion is premeditated, putting me through hell, holding me in one hand with the rest of your life in the other, keeping me on ice until you're back in my life, and every second that lasted a century is lost to me, because you're all mine, for however long I can keep you close before you are ether again. Maybe you're not a bad man when you materialize. I'm mesmerized. And maybe you just ended up addicted to toying with tortured girls who tell themselves that it's okay to live for you because, hey, haven't we all? And maybe I'm not a lost cause, losing my life, my youth, my heart to you. Maybe I'm smart enough to know that I'm doomed, but still pretty enough to find someone I can live for forever. I know that we're still in 2019, but I feel kind of like I'm already in 2020 in terms of like emotionally and my mentality and where I am as a person, if that makes sense. I think writing the new book really helped because it gave me a lot of time to think about, you know, who I am and what I want from myself and what I deserve as a person. And one of the things that I thought about, I was like, I have suffered in the name of love. I have, you know. I've made mistakes. I've done dumb shit. But I've gravitated towards people in my life that are not good for me. And so I wanted to kind of walk away from that. And I think, do you know what? I think finding somebody, and this was a decision that I kind of made halfway through the year, but I didn't know how it was going to play out. Because in my mind, I was like, I'm going to walk away from the things in my life that are not good for me. But the way I saw it was like a period of solitude. I was like, I'm going to write this reflective thing. I'm going to craft something from the way that I feel, and then I'm going to throw it out into the world and I'm going to be alone, and I'm going to have solitude, and I'm going to work on myself, and I'm going to go out for dinner and take myself out to see movies and go for walks and just be at one with myself. And that was why I chose to end the book when you guys eventually get to read it. I ended it with reflective things about who I have been and who I hope to be. Because I really did think, okay, so this chapter of my life, because inadvertently the book essentially covers my romantic endeavors for the last decade, which is a funny coincidence. But I was kind of like, at the end of this chapter, when this story ends and I start the new one, I'm going to be by myself, you know, and I'm going to rediscover who I am. And then this person just like drops into my life and I'm like, oh, hi, what the fuck? So the narrative changed up a little bit. But I was apprehensive, but I was still in a place where I could receive that and appreciate that, even though I didn't even know that I was looking for that. And the reason for that is because I had let go of that negative feeling and that bad situation, which sometimes felt good, because sometimes the things that are bad for you can feel amazing and necessary, but realistically they're not. Because it's like, well, girl. because I did that, I was ready to find something good. I just didn't realize it until it happened. And I think life can surprise you like that sometimes. Are you blind when you're born? Can you see in the dark? Yes, you know what I'm about to talk about. I'm about to talk about cats. Okay? This shit, I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be that guy who hates things because they're popular, although this version of Cats isn't. I have never liked Cats, the musical. I was not a fan. I thought... I've seen it twice, and I was never impressed. I think some of the songs are cute, but for the most part, I was not a Cats person, despite being a cat person. So I wasn't exactly looking at this film and being like super excited and like, oh my God, can't wait to see this. You know, I wasn't exactly going into this super hyped. I should say, full disclosure, I have not yet seen Cats, the movie that has just come out. And I don't plan to, but I wasn't planning to begin with. So the review clusterfuck has not really changed my opinion. I wasn't going to go and see it anyway. But I Do you know what? Having seen some of the reviews, I kind of want to. So, first off, it has a budget apparently of $95 million. And I would like to know how. Because one of the resounding themes that I have seen in reviews and people talking about this is they do not know where that money went, because apparently it looks terrible. There are so many things people are mad about. Taylor Swift fans are mad because she was only in it for like 10 minutes, and yet she was kind of at the front of the promotion of the movie, because obviously she's Taylor fucking Swift, so people are going to want to go and see it. You know, her fans are going to want to see it because it's her. I feel some type of way about that, I'm not going to lie. I really hate when these kind of projects do that and they essentially bait fans of a particular person. I mean, they probably would have gone and seen it anyway to support her, but making it look like she was a central piece of, you know, the thing when she's only in it for a few minutes is not very fair to her fans. But I mean, that's marketing, I guess. So some of the reviews, wow. So this one was from RTE Island. They said, first off, full disclosure, I am not a cat person. Second off, after watching this frankly mortifying film adaptation of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, I'm not altogether sure I am a movie person anymore either. Okay. Vulture said, to assess Cats as good or bad feels like entirely the wrong axis on which to see it. It is, with all affection, a monstrosity. Oh my god. Clint Worthington of The Spool said, I don't know if I said that right, but you know, by the time I left the theatre, I wasn't even sure what a real cat looked like anymore. I mean, I've seen the trailer and I've seen pictures of the film. They don't really look like cats. They look like furries. You know, those people that dress like cats, like they kind of look like that. They don't really look like cats to me. I feel like maybe a better way to go with this would have been like an animated film and have the cast do voiceover stuff. I feel like that would have probably been better. And there, you know, I'm just saying that probably would have been cheaper as well. So there wouldn't have been everyone clowning on it for like, oh, you spent $95 million and this is what you got. Because a lot of people seem to have a problem with the CGI and things like that. So maybe animation would have been like, just make it a straight animated cartoon film with voiceover stuff would have been a better way to go. But I mean, I didn't make Cats, so it's not up to me. Cats is the worst thing to happen to cats since Dogs. Finally, a whole new generation can discover that the Cats musical is 2 hours of human-feline hybrids without genitals, having no-touch sex, and begging for death via song. Oh God, my eyes. Strange, tiny human-faced cockroaches, both a horror and an endurance test. Congratulations to Dogs. Oh dear. I mean, you know, I think the studio are really trying to make this movie happen, though. That's the thing. They are relentlessly still on it. I keep getting ads in my Twitter feed. I'm getting ads on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. Go and see Cats. Book tickets to see Cats. Buy the soundtrack for Cats. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. It's not going to happen. I mean, it's weird to me. They have a cast of, like, very talented people. You know, there's all kinds of people in Cats. There's fucking Judi Dench, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Hudson, Ian McKellen. Like, there's all these people who are very talented, you know? I mean, so they've got talented people. They've obviously got a fuck ton of money. How do you fuck up this badly when you have Jennifer fucking Hudson singing Memory? How does this happen? But it did. I mean, girl. I saw some nonsense on my timeline about Jason Derulo's penis. I'm not interested in looking further into what this is about, because I feel like it's one of those things that I don't want to know. I don't need to know. They had Idris Elba in this movie, sis. What the fuck happened? Like I said, I think it's possible to make a good movie of Cats, I guess. I just don't think that this was the way to do it. I think, you know, the CGI, I think, was a bad way to do it. Because I think when you watch Cats on stage, even if you don't end up liking it, you can at least appreciate the costumes and everything. It makes sense in a theater setting and it looks fine. But with a musical that you see on screen, it's obviously it's going to be different, you know. So I don't know why they thought, let's continue with the whole humanoid cats thing. Because in theater, it makes sense. But in a film, not so much. Not so much. And it just becomes unsettling and uncomfortable. And it's like, I don't really want to see this. Why have you done this? And also, I mean, maybe this is just me and what I think personally, but Cats is a very, it's kind of messy. It's kind of sloppy as a musical anyways. If you were picking musicals to adapt, really? Cats? Like, I've just seen on Twitter, Caroline Moss, she's an author, and she talks about it, and she says, do you think the A-listers in Cats weren't expecting bad reviews? Did Jennifer Hudson think, yes, this movie is going to be amazing, this is not rhetorical? And I'm like, same. Like, I just... From the start, this seemed like it was going to be a mess. When I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be a mess. And for days after the trailer was released, everybody was, like, dunking hard on this movie. Like, people were like, this is a mess. I kind of want to see it for the mess, but it's a mess. And I think, you know, you've kind of got, like, two groups of people. You've got the people who want to go and see it because it's going to be messy. And then you've got, like, Taylor Swift fans who want to go and see it because she's in it. And I don't know who else they're aiming at. I don't know what other audience they think that they're going to be able to get, because I'm not really seeing much interest from people who are, like, Cats super fans who are really into this. Or, you know, people who really appreciate musical theatre who are really interested in this. Or, like, it seems very much like they are kind of aiming at, like, family, you know, oh, it's Christmas time, let's all go to the cinema and see a film with the kids. I'm not seeing much interest from those kinds of crowds either. It really just seems like the only people that want to go and see this movie are people that either want to make fun of it or people that are going out of loyalty to Taylor Swift. Nobody else's fandom seems to be going in for this. So shout out to Taylor's Swifties, I guess. But I don't understand why it was made, really. I don't understand. Of all the musicals, fucking Cats. Jesus. I'm on the Cats Twitter page now. And, well, here is another misfire. They don't seem to be leaning into the memes. I feel like if they leaned into the memes a little, maybe they could become, you know what I mean? Like, they can at least pretend they're in on the joke rather than that they are the joke and that everyone's laughing at them. I mean, maybe this is what Andrew Lloyd Webber deserves for being a terrible person. But, you know, you created this thing and now you have to watch Hollywood, like, tear it to pieces and, you know, watch it being made fun of. But, I mean, Jesus. Yeah, so everybody wants to be a cat, just not like the cats in the movie Cats. They want to be like one of the cats in like Aristocats, I should say, or like one of the cats from Broadway, not one of the creepy CGI cats. Nobody wants to be that cat. I'm trying to find like any solace from this. The only good thing that I can find is apparently Jennifer Hudson, she's been doing promo for this movie, obviously, and she's been going around and performing Memory on like TV shows and stuff, and she's been very good and people have enjoyed that. So, I mean, that's good, I guess. I guess that's worth putting up with, you know, everybody in like creepy cat CGI stuff for those performances. But, God. This is just yet another adaptation that didn't really need to happen, but has. And I bet all the mums are going to get it on DVD for Mother's Day because it'll come out around sort of March and all the mums will be given that and they'll all have to pretend they're really happy and be like, oh, thank you. Wow. Cats. Amazing. That and a Bublé CD. That's your lot, mums. Oh God, I'm mad because I just finished that segment on Cats and then I saw the most breathtaking thing. And you'll understand why I use that word in a second. So Universal Pictures just tweeted out, critics are calling Cats dazzling, breathtaking and spectacular. Cats is in cinemas today with a video of the trailer. And girl, who are these critics? Where are they? Who said those words in relation to your movie? Who? And how much did you pay them? Because nobody is... These bitches really said breathtaking and spectacular. Wow. Delusion. These bitches really said dazzling. Dazzling. Girl, maybe like I wish it was so dazzling in the first minute that I was blinded and I didn't have to watch the rest of it. Like, maybe that's what they meant. But girl, nobody's sitting there pretending like this is a masterpiece. The delusion is on show. I can't with these kids. I can't.
my hair down for you because you said that it was cute once. And I remembered, just the way that I remembered how you would count my freckles, kissing where they lay, laying next to me, holding my entirety in your careless fingertips, eating up every ounce of my imagined eerie vulgarity. I was afraid to forget, counting each step on my way to meet you, tapping my fingers against my thighs, telling each man who stares that this girl isn't for him with the way that I stare at the floor, waiting for you to remember that I am still your darling dream. You didn't remember, or you couldn't see. Your territory was invaded by an army of eyes, but you were not moved. Your tobacco-stained fingers trail across the treasure you once claimed. But you fade away, because the girl you loved is already gone. You ask if I'd like you to read me some poetry, and for a second, she returns, wrapping herself around your little finger, freckles easy to be found, kissed and counted, but then I forget her, remembering that I have my own poetry to keep me busy, and I like the sound of my own voice much better.
So obviously this year I learned to let go of things. I tell myself that every year and I feel like maybe this year I did like the advanced course. I don't know. But anyway, something I learned a long time ago was being let go of. And that was really what that was about. You know, like I said, I've been reflecting about a lot of things and not just like the situations that happened, but these kind of the way that I felt about things. And it very much feels very far away and kind of like these things happened to a different person because it's so long ago, some of them. So I had this, you know, I've talked about it before when I was younger and I had this love that felt so real and like it was never going to be over and like it was the only thing in my life that mattered to me. But you know, I was 16 and I was dumb as fuck. And then when I was 18, I mean in some ways I didn't feel like I had changed. I thought, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, you know, yeah, I'm living in London, I'm in the big city, I'm going to university, I do my own food shopping. Sometimes I get buses unchaperoned, but I'm still the same person because I felt like I was, you know, and for the most part I looked like I was too. And you know, sometimes I still feel like that. Like the other day I got a save the date card for my friend's wedding and I just thought, what the fuck? I have a friend who's getting married. I'm going to a wedding as a grown-up? What? Like, it was insane to me. But then I was like, yeah, you're an adult now, sis. This happens. But, so when I was 18, like, only just, I had this moment where I went back and I revisited a place I'd been a lot when I was younger. And I saw this guy. And he looked at me like I was a completely different person. And it was like I wanted to scream at him, I'm still the same. Why don't you love me anymore? Why don't I mean anything to you anymore? What did I do wrong? But I didn't. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes people just let you go and there's nothing you can do about that. You can't change that. You can't change how somebody else feels. because you're powerful within yourself and who you are, but they are still the master of their own mind. And it wouldn't have mattered what I did. I couldn't have stopped him from feeling the way he did, or from not feeling the way he did, as the case turned out to be. And at the time, it felt like my whole life was meaningless and falling apart, and nothing would ever be good again. And, you know, I didn't know what to do with myself, because my whole life had revolved around loving him and being this perfect fantasy for him, and I didn't know how to be anything else. But I did. I adapted. I became something else. I became what I needed to be. And I keep doing that in my life. I become whatever I need to be for whatever the situation is. And I imagine that I'll continue to do that. So maybe it's okay that he let go. Maybe it was the best thing for me. I just wish I'd known that at the time, so I didn't spend so long crying about it.
Pre-order the new album, Poetry Collection, Deus Ex Machina, by Jennifer Wahl, at jenniferwahl.com.
And that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to you that I can 100% guarantee there will be an episode next week, because I don't know, with the whole Christmas thing happening. I am hoping there will be, but we'll see. It'll be a surprise. So we'll see. You can find more of my work on my website, jenniferwahl.com. There's lots of fun things for you to read and watch and stuff on there for free. If you feel like buying something I do, that would be nice too. The details for all that are in the description, or on my website. If you feel like you want to leave the show a nice review, that would be very cute of you. That'd be very nice. It's Christmas, you know. Make that your present to me. Thank you to my top tier patron supporters, my friends, my buddies. Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy and Tyler. I love you guys very much. Thank you. If you want to join me over on Patreon, you get early release stuff, you get free merch, you get mentioned on every episode of this and in all of my other projects. And you get lots of exclusive stuff that nobody else gets. You can do that. The details are in the description or on my website. And you can start from as little as $1 a month. You can also support the show and all the other things that I do through one-off donations to PayPal or Ko-fi too. And as I said, if you don't have any, you know, dinero, that's cool. You know, a review or, you know, saying to someone, hey, did you want to hear a girl talking about things for an hour a week? Then I've got a treat for you. And sending them a link is also really cute, and we love that. Hopefully, there'll be a new episode next week. I imagine there probably will. There probably will. So I will see you soon. Good night, my love.